Production. Recorded live.
Welcome to episode 24 of WordPress Weekly for Friday, October 10th, 2008. I am your host, Jeff Chandler. Keith Murray, who would normally be my co-host, will not be with us tonight because he ended up breaking one of his teeth. Yow! So, Friday just happened to be the time that they could get him into the dentist, so all I can say is get better soon, Keith, because that does not sound like that would feel good. If you would like to participate in this evening's show, you can, you know, voice your opinion through the TalkShoe web client, or you can use Skype out, a landline, or a cell phone and dial 724-444-7444. Write that down on a post-it note and put it right on your monitor. The TalkCast ID number is 34224. And once you dial in, press star 8, and that will initiate the request to talk feature in TalkShoe, letting me know that you want to join the conversation. Anonymous calling is supported by TalkShoe, but because we don't have a call screener, your chances of getting on the show are slim to none. Now, WordPress Weekly is brought to you by the fine advertisers on WebBlogToolsCollection.com. Without their continued support, the show would not be possible. Kind of sound like the PBS there. I would also like to personally thank each and every one of you who download and listen to the show, really. I mean, I've brought this show back because of you. Your continued support is greatly appreciated. And if you're interested in advertising on WordPress Weekly, please contact Mark Ghosh via the contact form on WebLawToolsCollection.com. And, you know, all spots are open here on the show, and we average about 500 downloads per week, and the numbers probably going to increase. So now you better get in when the getting's good if you're an advertiser. And with that, hey, I just got a little bit of news to go over this week because we have a special guest lined up tonight for an interview. And that is WordPress 2.7 is nearing feature freeze, if it hasn't happened already. But once that happens, we should start to see announcements in the dashboard regarding beta releases. So based on everything I have read, 2.7 is on schedule to be released on November 10th. Now, let's just hope nothing major is discovered during one of these beta releases or a release candidate, because that might push the date back some from November 10th. But so far, everything looks good, and a lot of people are looking forward to it. And on to tonight's special guest. My guest tonight's name is Michael Torbert, who is more commonly known as Halls of Montezuma throughout the WordPress community, who recently took over the development of the popular all-in-one SEO plugin from Uberdose. Michael owns and operates Semperfy Web Design based out of Raleigh, North Carolina, which provides website maintenance, design, programming, hosting, and marketing. Michael is also the developer of the SMS text message and the WordPress security scan plugins, and joining us right now on the line this evening to talk about one of his big-time plugins is Michael Torbert. So, Michael, what's going on this evening?
Hey there. Good to be here.
Hey, I'm glad to have you on. Yeah, we've got a couple of people here in the chat room. We've got David Peralti and Andrew Rickman. We've got a couple of guests on here. Thank you guys for joining us tonight. If you got a question during the interview, just post it here in the chat room, and I'll read it over the air. And David's kind of giving me some flack for saying Raleigh, but I meant rally. You know what I mean. You see, Michael, you see what I got to deal with here in this chat room?
It's a rough life.
It is. So, you know, tell us how you came to be the new developer of this popular plugin, also known as the all-in-one SEO plugin.
Well, the original developer, he goes by the screen name of Uberdose. He had other areas of concern in his life, and I've been involved in the open source community for quite a while now, and in the WordPress community specifically for a while. I've dedicated a lot of time to various open source projects, and with WordPress specifically, I've done some other free plugins for the community. I spend a lot of time giving advice and help on the support forums. A number of developers apparently had contacted him about taking over the project after he made the announcement that he would no longer be developing or supporting it, which of course was huge and sent shockwaves through the WordPress community as, you know, as one of the biggest plugins. Go ahead.
Yeah, I even covered it. I wrote about it because I thought, you know, at first I thought that plugin development ceased to exist. I thought he was giving it up, and I wrote about it because I realized so many people use this plugin. This would be like a big bombshell if it were to be discontinued.
Well, at first that's what was going to happen. He was just unable to do other things in his life. He was unable to support it or provide development for it anymore. I was actually I use it. It's one of the plugins that I use on every single WordPress installation I do, no matter what the purpose of the WordPress installation, whether it's content management, well, with the exception of an internal, you know, intranet or something like that. I use it on every single WordPress installation I do. I was planning on, I fully intended on making a fork to it when we got in contact with each other. And over the period of a couple of weeks, he, I guess, looked into me a little bit and realized my dedication to the open source community and the WordPress community in general, and decided that I would be a good person to turn over the development and support to, based on my enthusiasm and passion for the project. And it's going well ever since, and hopefully continues to.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say open source community, are you talking about work you've done with, like Joomla or any of the other content management systems out there?
Yes, I no longer work with the other content management systems, mostly because WordPress is so much better. But yes, I, at one point in time in my life, in the dark ages, I did work with the other ones.
Well, you know, that's just like me. I mean, I think I've explained on this show in previous episodes my path leading up to WordPress, and that included going through the PHP nukes, the post nukes. Actually, mm-hmm. when I was about 16, 17 years old, and a guy mentioned to me, hey, you know, check out this post nuke site, and I realized that, you know, that's the first time I was actually introduced to content management systems, where you could type some stuff in, and you didn't have to manually update an HTML file anymore. You could just type some stuff in, and this whole system took care of things for you, and I was introduced to plugins. But, you know, so I went through the .nukes. I went through E107. I went through Mambo, which then was forked into Joomla.
Right.
So I've used a lot of those plugins or those content management systems as well. You know, and even at first, when I first came into WordPress, it was inundating to me. I mean, I didn't even use it because I felt, wow, you know, I felt pretty inundated with what I was presented with WordPress. But after I went back to Joomla, I said, Joomla's too much for what I need. I came back to WordPress, gave it a second try, and I've never looked back.
Well, WordPress is misunderstood by a lot of people, and myself included at first. You know, most people, some very small minority looks at it and it's too much for them to figure out. That's one of the draws of WordPress, is that it's so easy no matter what your technical skills are. It's so easy to use. But it's lighter and skinnier than all the competition, which is by design on purpose from Matt Mullenweg, and he hopes to always keep it that way. But that's the good thing about it, is that it doesn't have, you know, you log into Drupal or any of the others, and there are a million and one things in the administrative user interface, and you walk in, and, you know, it's confusing to me, and I'm a developer. I've been writing software for many, many years. It's confusing to me, so I can only understand if you're just, you know, learning your way around a computer and not used to making your own website. It must be confusing at first. But then you go with WordPress, and I can take somebody who, you know, they barely maybe know how to use Word and send and receive email, and I can have them managing their own website in just a few days. That's how good WordPress is. Yet at the same time, it's every bit as powerful as the others because the API is so well written that you can do just about anything you want.
Yeah, this is WordPress Weekly, but I write for a website on a part-time basis that is based on Drupal, and I could have a whole show based on ranting against Drupal when I'm so used to WordPress. But I won't go into that. But, you know, I've seen some discussion that the plugin is no longer available for free, and since I have you on the air, I'd like you to clear the air on this issue. You know, is
all
this true?
All in one SEO pack?
Yeah.
I never heard that. I will never charge for all in one SEO pack.
Okay, because I was reading a forum post in the forums that said something about how this one person said it wasn't clearly the case in terms of the plugin being released for free, so I'm not sure if he found something or he was trying to get in contact with you. I'm not sure what that was about, so I figured I'd just ask you straight up if it was still available for free.
Oh, I don't know. I've never, ever, ever hinted that it's not available for free, and I will never charge for it. I do have other commercial plugins, and I do write obviously, as part of my business, I do write plugins for a fee, but the three free public plugins that I have, and there will be more that I'm coming out with, they will never be charged for.
Okay, that's good. Can you explain to us, the audience, for those who don't use it, such as myself, how the all-in-one SEO plugin operates?
Sure. Okay, so right out of the box, and probably the thing that people have the most trouble with is the options page. When you click on settings, or it's called settings in the latest admin interface, when you click on settings, you'll see the all-in-one SEO pack configurations page or options page. When you go there, that's probably the most confusing thing. There's nothing you really have to do on the options page except for set the three meta tags for title, description, and keywords for your home page. Just the title, description, keywords for the home page. That's really all you need to do. There are a few other options. Out of the box, it's pretty much set up the way it needs to be. More advanced users generally pretty much already can kind of figure it out. But for 99% of the people, you don't need to change anything else. And if I were setting it up for you, I wouldn't change anything else, with the possible exception of there's a checkbox down at the bottom that says use categories for meta keywords. What that does, say you have a post, and obviously with that post you're going to have maybe a few tags, and then it's going to be a member of one or more categories. Well, if you want the one or more categories that it's a member of to also be meta keywords in the head section of the HTML, then if you click that checkbox, it'll automatically add those categories. So, for instance, if I'm writing about the presidential election, a blog post about the presidential election, and I write an article about what the candidates are going to do for the economy, and I put it in the categories politics, economy, election, three different categories, if I have that box checked, then it'll automatically add those three categories as meta keywords. But that is the only option that most people really need to. And the documentation on my website does a pretty decent job of this, although I'm in the process of completely revamping the documentation. There's not a whole lot, but I may have too much. I may need to simplify it a little bit. I try and address the issues. I get many, many emails a day. They're mostly
asking. Yeah, I imagine so.
Yes. Many, many emails a day. And so I try and address those in the documentation. Whenever somebody asks a new question, I usually try and include that. Other than that, the only other thing that you would really do on an ongoing basis, like I say, for the most part, or for the majority of people, you don't need to touch the configurations. It's fine the way it is. When you're writing a post or editing a post, you'll have on the Manage Post screen, you'll have a section down towards the bottom in the advanced area. You'll have the all-in-one SEO pack options, and that will just be for the title, description, and keywords. And you'll just put in, those are the ones in the head section of the HTML, you'll just put in the title, description, and keywords, just like you normally would when you're making a static HTML site and you put them on each page.
So we've got a question here from the chat room, David Peralti, who And he's asked, where is the all-in-one SEO currently lacking? I mean, do you feel it's lacking in any particular area that you're going to improve upon?
Yeah, there are a number of areas that are currently in the. In fact, I meant to come out with a release this week. It just did not happen. There are a couple of big things that are coming up. Number one, there will be support for image tags, image title, and alt tags. And number two, there's an issue that was recently brought to my attention that if you have, you know how you can change in the WordPress configuration, you can make a static page, the home page, and then have your post page a different page. Currently,
right.
It doesn't distinguish between the two. That's getting fixed in the next release, which, again, was supposed to come out this week, but that didn't quite happen. But that'll be fixed also, which there's currently a way around it. Most people don't do that, but the few people that do and they email about it, they email me about it, I tell them the workaround for it, but it'll be built in here shortly.
And we've got a number of good questions here in the chat room, which I'll get to here in a little bit. But I noticed, I installed the plugin here on my local install of WordPress today, and I noticed you got a one-click upgrade, which was probably great before they implemented the plugin upgrade system in WordPress 2.5. So I imagine you're probably going to end up taking that out, huh?
You know, I was going to, but I've actually had a lot of people that like it there.
Well,
go figure.
If they like it there, why change it, right?
That's what I figure. I planned on taking it out, but so many people have told me they like having it in there. I don't know why.
Hey, you take it out, you end up getting about exponential amount of emails on top of the ones you already get.
Oh, yeah.
So what has it been like to maintain a plugin that is rated as the most popular according to the plugin repository? And we're talking about a repository that houses thousands of plugins for WordPress, and this all-in-one SEO plugin is at the top of the heap.
I get dozens of emails a day, which I guess is good and bad. It's good to know that people are involved with WordPress. I do generally care about WordPress, and it's good to know that regardless of the nature of the emails that I get, it's good to know that people care. Some are feature requests, suggestions. Some are basic support questions, most of which are the same ones over and over. Some are praise, and a lot of them are praise. Some are actually denouncements telling me how horrible a plugin it is, but you'd be surprised they all get that. If you spend about 10 seconds on the support forums, you can see people telling everybody how bad the WP Stats plugin is, the Google XML Sitemaps plugin, how bad that is, all the popular ones, the NextGen Gallery. Those are in the minority, of course, but I do get a lot of emails. I respond to as many as possible. Unfortunately, it's not quite possible to respond to all of them. I would encourage people to check out the documentation on the website. There is a link within the plugin to the documentation. I would encourage people to check that out. There's not a whole lot of information there. It's all relevant. It's not like there are 20 different pages of long, drawn-out documentation. There are just a couple.
I've seen theme authors going down the route of providing a forum because many people are using the same thing. You get this benefit of self-help. Have you thought about maybe adding a forum to your own blog, maybe specifically for this plugin for self-help or feature requests?
I have, and you know that's probably coming. Sometimes they do get a little bit out of hand if they're not moderated. I've seen some of the theme and plugin ones that exist now. Some of them have gotten a little bit out of hand, as forums will do if they're not moderated. And of course, you don't, by principle, want to moderate it. Want to have to moderate it. I mean, you could argue that the support forums are already there, the WordPress support forums, and people do utilize them and help each other out. I also go on there every day. It's very possibly coming, though. I've thought a lot about it.
Okay. So,
I mean, if I get... I've never actually had somebody request it. I have thought about it. If I do get a lot of people requesting it, then that'll expedite the process of setting that up.
Okay.
So anybody listening that wants it, just send me an email and tell me.
Now, the next question I got was sent to me prior to this interview, and it was sent by David again, so he was here in the chat room. But he wants to know, do you believe that this plugin is necessary to use?
Yes. Yes, there
are... That was a simple answer.
yes, there are multiple plugins that I do on every WordPress installation I do. The two... at the top of the list are all-in-one SEO pack, and that was prior to me taking it over. It was one of the two most important, most vital, and it's considered by many people vital. That's why it was so huge when it was announced that it would no longer be supported by the prior developer. The other one is Google XML Sitemaps. All of this stuff, of course, could be done manually without a plugin, but obviously nobody does that. That's why the plugins are there. Yes. And there's actually an issue or a topic brought up on the WordPress forums that it is not necessary, that Google doesn't pay attention to the meta tags anymore, to the title, keyword, and description anymore. That's not true, and I encourage that person to research that topic a little bit. Google, of course, keeps changing the way they do things, and they don't always put what's in there as the first priority over the content of the web page. They've gotten a lot better at determining the topic of a web page just by scanning it, and no longer have to reply solely on the description and the keywords and whatnot, but it still does count for a lot.
Okay. You know, because the closest thing I've done without using this plugin is I'll go in, I'll change the permalink structure to something I enjoy towards the post name, because I can get keywords. I use keywords in the post title, and that, you know, puts it in there. I've gotten a lot of search engine traffic that way. I use relevant tags, and I've seen people doing searches who come up across those tags, and they find those pages with the tags on them, and they find relevant content for those tags. Sometimes they find my category pages. Things of that nature. You know, SEO, for me, is all about relevancy. I don't do a lot of tricks, or I don't even care about it when I'm writing my content, but it just so happens that if I keep the content and write it relevant to what the blog is about, it seems like the SEO takes care of itself. I mean, would you agree with that, or is this plugin just an addition to what you can already do on your own?
Both. The number one thing, and you know, the information comes straight from Google. The search engines, and including Google, of course, is the most important one, but search engines will change their algorithms. They'll change how they approach indexing websites and their results. But one thing will never change, and that is the value of the content. In fact, the value of how good your content is, that is getting more and more important as the search engines are getting better. But according to Google and the other search engines, they still want, or they still like to see the title, keywords, and description tags.
Okay.
And
so
until then, it's very, do you have to have it? No, but it's best if you do.
Well, I'm beginning to wonder, the longer I speak with you, I'm wondering if I should give this plugin a try just to see if I get increased results on top of what I already receive just by doing nothing. And so what's been the most difficult tasks for you in terms of maintaining this plugin? Is it the support? Is it the feature request? Is it the actual coding of the plugin?
Well, whenever multiple people are working on one, and now I'm the only person working on this, but so I shouldn't say that way. But whenever you take over somebody else's code, you know, there's always, because they don't do things the way you would do it, they don't organize stuff the way you would, and write things in quite the same style. So some of his code I've adapted to my style. Some of it I've just left the way it is and worked around it. I guess that was just more of a nuisance, really, than nothing on him. He, you know, just different styles. But that's more of a nuisance. Probably the biggest task is, yeah, probably the support. You get a lot of, which I was getting a lot anyway from the other plugins, but this is probably the same amount as the others put together. Based on the popularity.
We got a question here in the chat room. Can you mess up your SEO in using plugins such as the All-in-One SEO plugin? You know, for instance, can you edit the settings in such a way that search engines end up not liking you versus liking you more?
Yes. It's the same SEO. You want to use the same SEO techniques with this plugin as always. When you're making your meta tags, you don't want to, you know, things like, you don't want to have keyword stuffing, the same 50 keywords in every single post and every single in your title and your description and your tags, every single combination of whatever it is you sell or whatever service you're offering or whatever keywords you're trying to hit for. You don't want to have 50 different ones. You know, some people have 50 keywords on one page. Those same 50 keywords they just list in the title and then the description, they think they're getting over one on the search engines, but that stopped working in about 1995. So you use the same SEO techniques that you normally would, and it'll work just fine. But yes, if you try and trick the search engines or anything like that, then you're not going to help. You're only going to hurt.
So, and Andrew wants to know, you know, he'd be interested in knowing whether, do you know if there are any stats on how this plugin has improved performance for a given set of content? And if you don't have any of those reports available, do you think you'll ever provide those as a, you know, a visual example of how this plugin can improve someone's SEO for their blog?
That's a very good question. However, I'm not sure exactly how you would compile those stats. You'd have to base it on, you know, your search engine results can go up or down at any given time based on a wide variety of factors. Sometimes you don't do anything to change your website and you go way up for no apparent reason, or you go way down and you have no idea why. Some, you know, and then various things you do help or hurt and you don't know why. It would have to be based on a lot of different sites, and I'm not sure quite how that project would be accomplished.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking off the top of my head, you'd have like 100 some domains, and you'd use, you see, you would have to try and keep things constant, so you'd put the same content on all of them, but you imagine
sure.
You'd probably get the duplicate content penalty by
yeah.
Google on one of those subdomains.
Right.
And,
so
you know, you can't, yeah, it'd be, I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, so you would have to try and do it as a scientific experiment, but it would be just based on the nature of the SERPs and how they're compiled, and that'd be rather difficult to do. I mean, I'd certainly entertain if anybody approached me and had an idea of how to start that, I'd certainly be willing to talk to them about working with them on it, but I don't see how that would be practical or realistic. It would be a good idea, though, if it could happen.
Right. Yeah, it would be a nice comparison.
Mm. Most but people do say that it helps, just judging from the reactions and emails that I get. I get a good number of the emails that I get every day are of praise, telling me how great it is, how it's helped them. You know what? They could be wrong. Maybe it didn't really help them. Maybe their site was just taking off anyway. Who knows? I've seen one person ever say that, and this was on the support forum, say that it actually made their search engine rankings go way down. You know, obviously putting in the correct tags isn't going to hurt you. So, you know, they obviously did something wrong. But, you know, most people say it helps them. Who knows? Again, there's no real good way to know exactly how much it helps you. If we knew that, then I guess it would help out the SEO firms a whole lot more.
Right, we're reaching the 30-minute mark here in the show. I want to remind people that you can call in with your questions at 724-444-7444. The TalkCast ID number is 34224, and we're speaking with Michael Torbert, who is the new author of the plugin, the All-in-One SEO plugin. And, Michael, do you mind if we keep you on for another 15 minutes?
Oh, sure.
All right, cool beans. So what are your thoughts on SEO in general? I mean, is SEO something where you have to hire a snake oil salesman in order to figure out, or can people do this on their own? You know, because a lot of people have gotten the perceived view that, you know, if you hire SEO consultants, you know, a lot of times these guys are like snake oilsmen.
Yeah, the vast majority of them are. First of all, if you're going to spend money with somebody on SEO, anybody who gives you a guarantee, first place for this keyword or whatever, then you need to not ever talk to them again. It's something you can do yourself with research, with a lot of research, with trial and error, with learning, with experience. It's like anything else. If you feel that it would benefit you, then find somebody who is proven in SEO services and ask them, you know, will you be able to help me? And the ones that are well known and they're proven, they will be honest and say, no, I'm sorry, I can't help you for, you know, what you want, and they'll tell you what it's worth if they can. Other than that, basic SEO techniques, which are more than sufficient for everybody, can be done with a little bit of work and a little bit of effort, can be done on their own. I mean, if you can manage WordPress, then you can certainly do the basic SEO techniques. The two biggest things, and well, the biggest thing, of course, for SEO, like we talked about, is content. That will never change, and it's become increasingly more and more important as like I said, as the search engines get better and better at determining what is on your page and parsing through all that data. So having good content is the key. Don't try and trick the search engines. You're not going to trick them. If you do, they're going to figure it out, and it's best case scenario, not going to help you. Worst case scenario, it's going to hurt. Don't do keyword stuffing. This is what this post is about. This is what this website's about. So then you do a description, you do a title, you do the keywords. And obviously things like you talked about, making your permalinks, which is the words and it's the way WordPress rewrites the URL. You know, put a couple of keywords in there. So I know I always rewrite mine so that it starts off with the category and then the post or page title. So obviously your category is, you know, very possibly going to be a keyword, so that'll be right up there, and then the title of your post should also include a couple of keywords. That's really more for not humans so much as search engines. The blog post title should be the one for humans.
I can't tell you, you know, I write for a website, and I have access to their analytical system, and I can check out their searches for, you know, how they're getting to the site through the search engines. And boy, there are a lot of people out there typing into the search engine, good blog titles, blog titles. What makes a good blog title? And I don't understand. I mean, is the blog title that important?
Yeah. Which one do you mean? Do you mean the title and the manage post screen?
Well, a couple of the terms were good blog names, good title, excellent title, blog title. It's just everything dealing with this title.
Yes, the title is very important.
Mm. And is that what shows up in the top portion of the browser window, that text that describes, you know, in a few words or less what your blog is all about?
When you have a WordPress site, there are two different titles. There's the title and the head section of the HTML, which, if you're not familiar with HTML, it's basically divided into a couple different areas. You have your head section, which is just the top area that has all the general content, if it has to include any other files or things like that, then you have the body section, which of course is just the body of the web page, and that's what actually shows up on the screen. Well, in the head section, along with the other general information, like the type of HTML you're using and whatnot, you have three different tags that are important. You have your title tag, and that's what shows up in the top section of the browser, the blue bar in Windows or the gray bar in Mac. Then you have your keywords and your description. Then there's also, in WordPress, of course, there's the post title, which, you know, that one's more for humans, I guess, but, you know, throwing a couple of keywords in there couldn't hurt either. Neither one should be very, very long. Some people want to stuff 50 different keywords into each one, and that's just not going to help you out.
Right. So you're working with this plugin now, the all-in-one SEO plugin, and you've picked up the development. Most of the code was written by Uberdose. But, you know, as a plugin developer, how difficult has it been for you to work with the WordPress code?
Not very. It's well written. There are, and I don't like to get into a whole lot of criticisms of WordPress, but there are different things that I would probably change. I assume you're talking about the developer's API. I think as far as APIs go relative to the other ones that I've worked with, I would say that it's very well written and very powerful. And let you do pretty much anything you want to do. If you're a plugin developer or theme author, then you can pretty much do it with the WordPress API. There's not a whole lot you can't do, and for that's all attributable to, you know, Matt Mullenweg and the other developers and everybody else who's contributed their code.
Now, the WordPress plugin repository is home to countless plugins, including the all-in-one SEO plugin. So what is your opinion regarding the repository? Do you I know you use the repository. It's listed on there, and you probably have access to it via the plugin. You know, what's your take on the repository?
They have a great system set up. I know there have been some complaints when a developer wants to add a new plugin to the repository about the wait. That it's not 100% automated. They have to wait for somebody to manually approve their new plugin. I've never had a wait for my plugins. It's always been fairly quickly, same day. There have been some people that said they've waited a week or more. I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things that's entirely pop. Maybe I just got lucky, or maybe they did something wrong and don't know it. Who knows? In my experience using the plugin repository, submitting new plugins and submitting updates works very, very well. They have as good of a system as it can be, and of course the one-click upgrade is a nice feature that seems to work real well and in most cases.
So has the repository made your development life easier in terms of distribution and getting the word out there and having a place for people to post?
Oh, sure.
Support queries, you know, how they have a forum there and whatnot?
Oh, definitely. You know, I mean, people still search on other sites, but when you go to another site, you never know what you're getting. One thing that the plugin repository does, it allows us developers to say, well, we've tested this up through version, you know, 2.6, 2.2, or whatever version, so you know that, hey, I could be wrong. The plugin developer could be wrong, and maybe it doesn't really work with that version, but you at least know that the plugin should be working with that version. You know, it shouldn't work earlier than this. It shouldn't work later than this. Well, if you're just getting a plugin from out on the street somewhere, from some random place on the web, if they didn't happen to tell you, well, you don't know, and you can either set up a test installation of WordPress to test it out, or you can risk testing it out on your live site and have no idea. Also, with having the support forums attached to each plugin, you can make a forum post or a new forum thread on a plugin. That helps to do research before you install a plugin. Obviously, you don't want to install some plugin that could screw up your WordPress installation without knowing something about it. So you know that if it doesn't have any threads started on it, it's very possible you may want to wait a little bit or ask around or test it out on a development version of WordPress or whatever. But if you see, you know, all of mine have 50 different threads started on them where people are asking questions or saying how great it is or whatever they're saying, so you know that, hey, it's probably safe to go ahead and install this.
Well, we've got another question here in the chat room by, do I even have to say his name, David Peralti. And I love the questions I'm getting in here. Don't get me wrong. And he wants to know, do different search engines respond differently to SEO?
We could have a whole show on that question.
Right.
Yes.
My take is what Google finds relevant and valuable and places higher up within their algorithm. You know, because a lot of people have said that Google doesn't really count the meta tags as much as they used to, but Yahoo and some of the other ones still give those credence.
It depends. There are some talking about the meta tags specifically, there are some search engines that have announced that they no longer count them, period. Some say that they definitely do and always do. Google says that they don't always, just because they've gotten better at analyzing the content on your page and knowing what it's about, knowing what the page is about, without somebody having to do keyword stuffing. If you just write a normal article or blog post or whatever you're writing about or whatever the content of your page is, since they've gotten a lot better at determining, you know, what should this show up for in the search engines, where should this show up, they don't always have to pay as much attention to the description tags. In fact, sometimes you'll notice that used to, for the most part, your description tag that showed up in the search engine results underneath the title of the page, the little description down there, the little blurb, the description tag generally would be what shows up there. Now it doesn't always, and I actually had somebody start a thread in the support forum saying that the plugin's broken because it's not showing up there. It's like, no, Google's gotten good enough that they don't always have to go by that. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. It just depends on what's in your description tag and what's in the content of the page. Then Google automatically makes a decision about what they want to include.
So with that being said, I'll leave you with this last question, unless somebody pops one up here in the chat room, and that is, why is this plugin so popular?
I don't know.
I've got one reason for it. There's one reason, and that is anytime you mention WordPress and SEO in the same sentence, somebody else is going to respond with all-in-one SEO. So you definitely have the word of mouth, you know, advertising to go along with, you know, why this plugin's so popular.
Sure. You know, you have all over the internet, you have people on their sites that have, you know, my list of my top 5 plugins, top 10 plugins, top 25 plugins, whatever. Almost all of them list this plugin among them. Some actually list my security plugin also, but almost all of them list, no matter how many they're listing, list this all-in-one SEO pack. It is vital. You still need to do your keyword or your meta tags. You still need to do it. It's very, very important. Are you going to die if you don't do it? No, but it's very, very important. Any SEO firm, they're going to do that for you, and they're going to do research on, depending on how much you pay them and how good you are, they're going to do extensive research on what exactly needs to be in those keyword tags. You wouldn't pay tons of money to somebody to figure that out for you if it weren't important. It's just one of those vital plugins. It serves a purpose that needs to be done, and it makes it extremely easy to do it. It'd be very difficult to do it if you didn't have this plugin to do it for you on WordPress.
Now, because of its popularity, do you ever feel any pressure in terms of maintaining the quality of the plugin, maintaining its to maintain that it's on that high level, that, you know, so everybody continues to recommend the plugin? Is there any pressure that comes along with that?
Oh, sure. You can be torn in two directions, and I think every plugin developer of a popular plugin can attest to this. And this was even before I took over the all-in-one SEO with my other plugins. And on the one hand, hey, it's free software, and some people just, I don't know, they assume that they are owed certain things with the development of the plugin, which I can understand. On the other hand, there are people that have come to depend on certain plugins. I know that there are certain ones that I'd be pretty upset if they were no longer developed anymore. This was one of them, which is why before Uberdose invited me to take over the plugin, I was going to create a fork of it. It's just one of those important plugins that needs to be kept up. And if the day should ever come that it's not going to happen anytime soon, but if the day should ever come where I'm no longer to keep up with the development and support of it, somebody will take it over. So, I mean, it's an important part of when you're a member of the WordPress community, you do have certain responsibilities, particularly as a plugin developer of a commonly, widely used plugin.
Well, before we let you go, there is somewhat of a tradition on here that I didn't start, but some of the people involved with this show started a long time ago, and I would be remiss if I didn't continue this tradition. So the last question of the night that I'm going to ask you is, what is your favorite cheese?
My favorite cheese? cheddar.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for easily going through that process. I don't know why these people want to know what your favorite cheese is, but they do, so I got to ask. But, hey, Michael, I want to thank you very much for taking some time out tonight to be with us here on WordPress Weekly, and I want to wish you the best and continued success for your plugin all-in-one SEO. You know, you definitely got one heck of a plugin under your belt there. And I'll also give you the opportunity to, hence, don't mind the pun, plug one of your couple of your other plugins that you've also developed.
Well, currently the only two other free plugins that I have that are out are the WP Security Scan, which offers various security features for. And if we had more time, I'd go into exactly what it did and how to use it. But it offers various levels of security for your website and various recommendations and whatnot. There's also the only other free plugin that I have currently is SMS text message, which it basically, you know, the little subscribe by email to a newsletter or something like that, and the sidebar that everybody has. Well, it's like that only for text messages to your phone. So you enter in your phone number, your cell phone number, and then the administrator of the blog, the owner of the blog, has the option of whether, you know, whenever he makes a new post or just any time he wants to send out an update via SMS text message to his subscribers, he just types in whatever the update is and sends it off automatically to everybody.
Well, that sounds like a cool plugin somebody would use through the WordPress app for the iPhone or just through the iPhone.
Oh, well, it works with every kind of phone as long as it accepts SMS text messages.
So before we let you go, is there anything you're working on that you can let people know about? You know, maybe some new features you're planning on for a new version of all-in-one SEO, or at least give us kind of your take on where it's heading in the future?
Well, I'm in the process of a major overhaul of the user interface that will probably not be in the next version. Like I said, the next version is supposed to come out this week. It'll more than likely to come out over the weekend or as late as next week. And after that, though, there is a major overhaul of the user interface that will happen. Instead of just one real long page for the configurations page, there will be multiple pages and with additional functionality. Now, it'll be kept so that it'll be easy to use, and if you just click activate and leave it there, it's already going to help out. Just by having the plugin activated, if you never actually do anything, it helps a little bit. Then, of course, if you put in the various title, keyword descriptions, and obviously that helps a little bit more. And then advanced users can mess with the configuration, although that's not necessary in 99% of the cases. There will be additional functionality, such as, like I said, the tags for images and the fix for the static homepage and extra page for the blogs. That will be fixed. Which only, if you don't know what that means, if you listen out there, if you don't know what that means, then it probably doesn't apply to you and won't help you. If you need it, then you probably know, and you can look for that to come out very, very soon. There are a few other little things here and there. Most of the improvements that are coming, the little fixes, are suggestions from other people. Real quickly, there were a lot of things I noticed, but then a lot of things people just email me and say, hey, can you add in this, or this is broken, can you fix this, and I'll go ahead and fix it.
All right, Zay, man, that sounds great, and I'm sure plenty of people who listen to this show are probably users of this plugin, so you just got to, right from the horse's mouth, so to speak, and I'm not calling you a horse, what's going on with your plugin. And Michael, thanks again for taking some time out of your busy schedule to be on the show.
Thanks for having me on. It's great to be here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Michael Torbert, the new author of the plugin All-in-One SEO. He also does WP Security Scan and MSS text messages, and I thank him again for being on the show. And hey, you know what? It's time for the insert soundbite here, plugin of the week. I tried to sound cool there. This week's plugin, I've only got one because my co-host is gone, and it's called Exclude Pages. Now, this plugin adds a checkbox with the option to include this page in menus, which is checked by default. If you uncheck it, the page will not appear in any listings of pages, which includes and is usually limited to your page navigation menus. Pages which are children of excluded pages also do not show up in menu listings. An alert and editing screen underneath the include checkbox allows you to track down which ancestor page is affecting child pages in this way. What this essentially does is it replaces the need to go into your theme and add some exclusions where you would have to edit the WP list pages function or template tag. The developers are going to get on me for that one, for miscalling it the wrong name. But you would have to go in there and you'd have to add an exclude and give it the page ID numbers from the ones that you didn't want to show up in your navigation menu. Well, this one, you just click a checkbox and boom, it takes care of that for you. So it's called Exclude Pages, and the link to this plugin will be included in the show notes. Next up, we've got a little bit of feedback based on episode 23. Kim Hung lets us know that we did a great show. Thank you, Kim. You can catch his work on the WordCast, which is another WordPress-based podcast. Brian Meager lets us know that he is glad that the show's back. He gives props to me, but confirms that Keith is a great co-host. I agree. And lets us know that he enjoys hearing his developers' take on things. And that's why I brought him on the show. And thank you for the props. I'm sure Keith will appreciate that. Next up, we have Bubba Zoo, who chimed in with quite a bit of feedback here. And he says he agrees with our comments on regarding the plugin repository search function. Now, according to Bub, it's getting so bad that when someone asks you to download a specific plugin, you can't even find it to download. Boy, I've been there, done that, and you can listen to more on this issue in episode 23. So just check back in the archives. Now, Bob addresses something in his comment that I think is worthy of discussion. He states, "So really, what they need to do on the what they need to do on the plugin repository is delete out old plugins that haven't been developed since 2.5 was released. That'll cut down the list quite extensively right there, thus improving the search. Since really any pre 2.5 plugin won't work for 2.5 plus anyways." You know, I'm not going to confirm or deny the fact that a pre 2.5 plugin will work or not with, 2.5, but I did ask this question on Twitter with regards to deleting plugins based on the amount of time that any development has taken place on them, and many people replied back to me that, yes, they thought it would be a good idea to delete plugins based on a certain version and back to kind of clear out their repository. Will the team do that? I'm not sure. I think it'd be a decent idea to clear out a lot of the code and a lot of the old plugins that they're hosting there on the repository, but I'm not sure if they'll ever go that route. Now, Bob also wanted to know where the Press This Plus plugin was located. If back on episode 23, we had a caller call in and was mentioning that he was developing a plugin called Press This Plus, which was an extended Press This bookmarklet. And as far as I can remember, it was on the verge of being released, and although I performed a couple of Google searches, I was unable to find a page with information related to this plugin. That may be because the plugin he was developing was for a client, and I think he mentioned that somewhere down the line he was going to release it to the public. So that's what's going on there, Bob. Thank you very much, guys, for your feedback. We encourage any feedback you might have with regards to the show. You can either email me at jeffro@jeffro2.0.com, or you can simply leave us a comment here on the blog. And I want to go into a new segment starting this week. This will be on every show, and it's going to be called the WordPress Job of the Week. David, don't nudge me for getting the idea from another show I do, but you know, there's a lot of WordPress jobs that are out there, and weblogtoolscollection.com has its very own job board. If you didn't notice, it's in the sidebar near the bottom under a lot of the widgets. There's a place where there's recent job postings, and I'll be picking one each week to cover here on the show. And the this job was published on October 10th on weblogtoolscollection.com job board. Now, Sure Foods Living is looking for someone who can upgrade WordPress 2.1 to the current version. The individual, at one point, had someone to help them customize their site, but that person is no longer available. Also, because of the upgrade, this person needs to change templates since the current one is not compatible with the latest version of WordPress. The potential client is asking for people who are qualified and for quotes on how much this project would cost. If you are interested in this job, please contact Allison, A-L-I-S-O-N, at surefoodsliving.com. And information related to that specific job will also be part of the show notes. And before we roll on out of here, I do have an announcement to make, and that is that Jane Wells, who works for Automattic in the user experience / usability department, will be our special one-hour guest on Halloween night. Yes, we'll be talking about the spooky subject of usability, and that will be on Friday, October 31st, 2008. So if you're interested in talking usability and WordPress, definitely mark this date down on your calendar. I bet you that's going to be a classic show for WordPress Weekly. And, hey, that's going to do it for this episode of WordPress Weekly. You can catch me during the week at jeffro2.0.com, as well as my contributing articles for WeblogToolsCollection.com during the weekend. And until next week, have a great weekend, everybody.